Hey guys, and welcome back to the Salt Not Sweetener podcast. I am your host, Danielle Townsend, and today's episode is titled Many Are Called, But Few Are Chosen. Now, it's rare that I actually have like a title of the episode before recording the episode, as you guys know. Most of the time, I have kind of a general idea after prayer or scripture reading of what I'm going to be getting into. But once I start the episode, it's really where the Spirit leads me. You know, I don't have a lot written out, a lot planned out. But the Lord was making it very clear to me this morning, the message today. And He was doing that through scripture reading. There are two chapters in the Bible that I'm going to be heavily focusing on today that the Lord had me reading this morning, and that is John chapter 15 and Matthew chapter 22. And the Lord already gave me the title, Many Are Called, But Few Are Chosen. And I have heard that saying many, many times. And when I tell you my first couple times hearing it was really hard for me to grasp and understand. And even when it was explained to me, at first it was hard for me to grasp. And it wasn't until I was further along in my walk with Christ that I began to truly believe it and I began to truly understand it. Now, when I say many are called, but few are chosen, I am referring to Matthew chapter 22. Right in verse 14, where it says, many are invited, but few are chosen. And honestly, that might end up being the title. Now that I'm saying it, that sounds a lot better. Many are invited, but few are chosen. We'll see what happens here. But what I have written down next to that is the call, the invitation being referred to. That is an invitation that's extended to many. That's extended to everybody, right? That's the call of salvation. That any of us are able to receive salvation through our faith in Jesus Christ. All of us. It's an invitation. God isn't excluding a single one of us. All of us are invited to enter the kingdom of heaven. But the chosen are those that accept in faith and obedience. Those who are chosen are the ones that once they accept Jesus Christ, when they have their faith in Jesus Christ. I've shared in past testimonies on here, and I won't get into it too much, y'all. I know from experience what it's like to praise Jesus with your mouth, to go to church on Sundays, the whole shebang, but to have a heart that is far from the Lord, to have faith that isn't in Jesus Christ. I did it growing up. I went to church every Sunday. I went to Mass every Sunday. I went to all my Sunday school classes. I did all of that. I would say I love Jesus. But my heart was very far from Him. And honestly, it was revealed through my works. We've talked about works in a lot of previous episodes, how works do not buy your salvation, but they are a sign of your faith, where you're kind of at on your walk with Christ. Because once you have your faith in Him, those who believe in Him will do the works that He does. And that is John chapter 14, I believe. Those who believe in Jesus will try to live more like Jesus. And that's not a night and day thing. And that's not saying that it comes totally easily. But when you believe in Him, when you have your faith in Him, there is this urge, there is this fire, there is this desire to be more like Jesus. To do the things that Jesus is calling you to do, which is creating disciples, being fishers of men, right? The whole shebang, and we'll get into that too. But the way when I look back, I could tell that my heart was far from the Lord is a lot of these things were not coming out of me. There wasn't a desire to be more like Jesus. There wasn't a desire to deny my flesh. There wasn't a desire to pick up my cross. There wasn't a desire to do all of these things. And at that time, I would have believed I was full-on Christian. I was a full-on believer. You can't tell me nothing. And it wasn't until I have experienced life with true belief and faith in Jesus. I have experienced what it's like to want to be more Christ-like. I've experienced what it's like to have the desire to please God overpleasing the world so much that I've been willing to release things and willing to let things go and willing to deal with persecution and willing to deal with whatever comes my way on behalf of speaking up for Jesus Christ. And now that I have experienced that, I am able to see the difference, right? So I just wanted to give y'all a little bit of my personal background with that. Of I know what it's like to show up every Sunday and glorify God with my mouth, glorify Jesus, all these things, but not actually have my faith or my belief in him. I've said this many times before. When I was growing up in the church and everything like that, I didn't truly believe I needed what Jesus Christ had to offer. I didn't see myself as someone who needed saved from my sins. I didn't see myself as someone who needed saved from myself, which every single one of us, we do need saved from ourselves. We need what Jesus Christ did on the cross to enter the kingdom of heaven. Every single one of us is a sinner that needs what Jesus did. But I didn't see that most of my life. Instead, I saw myself as a victim of an unjust world and that I needed God to save me from everybody else around me. I was like, God, this person's hurting me and this person's doing this and this person's doing that. And A, B, C, D, F, G, I was pointing out everything that everyone else was doing. I was like, God, why aren't you protecting me from them? Why aren't you saving me from them? Why aren't you? That was what I was focused on. So I didn't truly believe or have my faith in Jesus because I didn't feel like I needed what he had to offer. And God allowed me to get to a point in my life where I was so down, where I had been humbled. I had recognized that I was a sinner and I had so much weight on me. But that was the moment where I was able to turn to Jesus Christ in repentance and to experience what it's like to be forgiven. Like, I know what it feels like now to have that weight lifted off my shoulders after I confess my sins and truly believe that I can be forgiven for them. And that is just a little bit of my experience of like recognizing the difference, because I feel like I have a unique experience here, y'all, where I have kind of been in both boats. I have been on both sides. I have been the person who's responding to the call. Like they're showing up to the party. They accepted the invitation, but they're not responding to the call. Meaning they're not putting their faith in Jesus. They're not allowing Jesus to change their heart. They're not doing any of that. They want the blessings. They want all that, but they don't want to do the work. I have been that person. And I have also now been that person that accepts the invitation and puts my faith in Jesus and sees transformation because of that. Now let's get in on some scripture reading, y'all. Let's get in on some scripture reading. We're in the CSB, where my She Reads Truth Study Bible today, starting in Matthew chapter 22. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to summon those invited to the banquet, but they didn't want to come. Again, he sent out other servants and said, "Tell those who are invited, see, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet." But they paid no attention and went away, one to his own farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged, and he sent out his troops, killed those murderers, and burned down their city. Then he told his servants, "The banquet is ready, but those who were invited are not worthy. Go then to where the roads exit the city and invite everyone you find to the banquet." So those servants went out on the roads and gathered everyone they found, both evil and good. The wedding banquet was filled with guests. When the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who was not dressed for a wedding. So he said to them, "Friend, how did you get in here without wedding clothes?" The man was speechless. The king told the attendants, "Tie him up hand and foot. Throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are invited, but few are chosen." Now, when we first read this parable, right? Because this parable was given to us by Jesus. We can see how it relates to that time period, right? Because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Jews had been waiting on the Messiah to come. Jesus is here, right? And we can see that here with the servants, right? Where the king sends out his servants to invite people to the banquet. God is sending Jesus Christ to go minister to these people, to bring them closer to God. But the Jews reject Jesus. We see that. We see a lot of the confrontations with the Pharisees. We see how Jesus Christ ended up going to the cross, right? He was the rejected stone. He was rejected. He came here. He invited them, and he was rejected by them. They turned away the invite. They didn't want to come. They didn't want what Jesus had to offer. But the interesting thing that felt highlighted to me this morning was God didn't just take that one rejection and walk away. God tried many times, right? Because after they were rejected, after they had rejected God, where it says here they didn't want to come again, he sent out other servants and said, "Tell those who are invited, see, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen, fattened cattle have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet." Like, God tries again. He doesn't just take one crack at someone's heart. He doesn't just offer Jesus one time. He doesn't just offer salvation one time. It's many times over. It's many, many, many times over. It says here that they still paid no attention and went away, one to his own farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. And that's what we see happen with Jesus, right? They seize him, they mistreat him. He's whipped, he's beaten, he's persecuted, he's hung on a cross. And when I first read that, I'm able to see, okay, this is how that parable relates to that time period, right? Jesus Christ came, invited people to enter the kingdom of heaven, salvation through belief in him, experience forgiveness for their sins. They didn't feel like they needed that, so they rejected it. They rejected what Jesus was trying to offer to them. God was giving them a blessing, and they were rejecting it because they didn't feel like that's what they needed. They weren't expecting the Messiah to look like Jesus Christ. They were expecting the Messiah to look very different. And they weren't expecting the Messiah to come and tell them, "You need to fix this. You need to repent. You need to do all this." They were expecting the Messiah to come in all-out war and like hand the Romans over to them, and they're conquered and all of these things. So they rejected the blessing God was trying to offer them. And in rejecting that, it was offered to other people. The doors were open for the Gentiles, for me, for someone who's listening to us today, to be integrated into like God's chosen people. The Jews rejecting opened up the door for the rest of us to accept Jesus Christ as Lord. As we see here, after multiple times of God like trying at their hearts, he sent the servants out to other people. He said, "Okay, go find other people. There are other people out there who will accept the invitation and the call. Go find those people. Get everybody, and I will weed them out later." And how many times do we see like Jesus kind of referring to that in the Bible too, right? Like fishers and men like collect the people. When the harvest time comes, that is when we'll do the sifting. Like, worry more about grabbing people. I will do the sifting. And we kind of see that here where the servants are, they're inviting everybody. Everybody receives the call. It's once people show up, right, that then the Lord can kind of do the sifting and moving through. But we see that here. We see how that kind of ties in to Jesus's time period, right? And I started thinking about how much this relates to our daily life. God's word is living and breathing, right? This scripture, I cannot tell y'all, every time I have a problem, there is an answer for it somewhere in the Bible. And I was praying to God, where I was like, God, how does this relate to my life today? How does this relate to other people's lives today? And he showed me the walk of ministry, the walk of evangelizing, the walk of bringing other people to Christ. Y'all, sharing from personal experience, I know that there is a call that God has for me to create disciples and to bring people closer to Jesus. That is what we're all supposed to do as followers of Christ, right? It's not just a pastor's job. It's not just that person who's like head of evangelism's job. It's every single one of our jobs. Everyone who has had an encounter with Jesus Christ, whether or not you realize it yet, you have a testimony to his goodness that can be used to bring other people closer to Christ. And I recognize that that is a role and a responsibility I carry. And we each have giftings, spiritual gifts, to be used to further the kingdom of heaven. And I've been able to recognize some of those gifts. And one thing that the Lord has really been highlighting to me over the past year is I have a lot of testimonies where my life was one way. I experienced Jesus and now I'm another way. And there are groups of people that I can reach out to and that I can communicate with that I never in my life thought would be possible. There are groups that I'm able to reach because of my past mistakes that God has redeemed, that God has used to glorify him and for his good. And I have, whether or not I realized it was what I was stepping into, an evangelism walk. Right? I am learning how to use the testimonies and use the gifts that God has given me to bring other people closer to the kingdom of heaven. And that is what he has highlighted today for me. And I know that there are other people listening to this podcast today that need to hear this too. Okay? Because we are like the servants that the king sent out. We see here that the king wants to have a banquet. He wants to have a party. So he sends his servants out and says, go spread the invitation. Go tell all these people. We're going to break this down as we walk through it. That is what God calls us to do, right? To make disciples, to show other people the love of Jesus. We're doing it in different ways. There are some people who know by we'll go and start preaching the gospel to them and start telling them about who Jesus was, and their ears perk up and they want to hear more. There are other people, we do it more by showing them the love of Jesus through our actions, right? Maybe they don't want to pick up a Bible. Maybe they're not ready to hear that sermon. But they see how you live your life and how you show Christ-like love, how you move in kindness, how you're forgiving. And you're ministering to these people by the choices you make and the way you choose to live your life. You're showing them the love of Jesus. They're experiencing Jesus' love through you. Whatever way it is, whatever method, God has called us to invite people to the kingdom of heaven, right? He has called us to invite people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I've shared with this, for me personally, a lot of it comes through sharing my past experiences and my past testimonies. God has gifted me, blessed me with the ability to communicate those testimonies. And whatever your gift is, God's going to use that too. But the root of it is to invite people into a relationship with Jesus, that they may see salvation. So we have this job, right? We have this call, and now we're out doing this call, right? And not everybody is going to respond well to this call. And that's what we see here next, that like there are people who didn't want to come. When Jesus was inviting them, there were people who didn't want to come. When Jesus was preaching repentance and the forgiveness of your sins and loving one another and things like that, a lot of people didn't want that. They rejected that. And the message that God is calling you to carry, the things that He's calling you to do, not everybody is going to want to accept it. Not everybody will accept it. And I want to refer back to some scripture, right? John 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, understand it hated me before it hated you. If the world rejected Jesus and his message and what he was offering, yeah, it's gonna hate you. It's gonna reject you, especially when you are doing God's will. When you are walking in God's will, when you are showing people the love of Jesus Christ, when you have that Holy Spirit residing in you and it's shining through, there are gonna be people, and I want to pull from John chapter 15, verse 25, that will hate you for no reason. I don't know what it is about them, but I just don't like them. I don't know what it is about them, but I just don't want to hear it. If they hated Jesus, they're gonna hate the person that looks like Jesus. Your message, being for whatever it is that you're bringing to the table that is from God, do not let whether or not people accept it or want to hear it be like how you determine whether or not this is from God. And this is something I have had to really, as someone who I used to gauge my performance based off of other people's reactions, and I used to gauge if what I was doing was right based off of how many likes or how many comments or how many interactions or how just many positive words I would get, right? When I stepped into a relationship with Jesus Christ, and when I started answering the call to create disciples, to start spreading the gospel, the way that people responded at first, I started noticing was kind of like my gauge to, is this what God is calling me to do? Is this what God is calling me to say? And when I would have some hateful responses and some pushback, my brain would first go to, oh, this must not be what God's calling me to do. Because if He called me to spread this message or do this thing, wouldn't more people be accepting of it? Wouldn't more people want to be hearing it? Wouldn't there be less pushback? Wouldn't it be easier to move through? And there are some cases where when God has called me to speak and a situation goes even better than I could expect. But there have been many situations I have stepped into where God has called me to speak and I have been rejected. And that doesn't mean that God wasn't calling me to speak that thing. He has really had to show this to me. Just because you are rejected or someone doesn't want to hear it or there's some opposition to it doesn't mean that it's not from God. That's why you need to take it to God. If you have concerns of God, is this message from you? Like, is this thing from you? Take it straight to Him. But also, start to trust a bit more in the discernment that He is giving you. We walk by faith, not by sight. I feel called to refer back to the story of Nehemiah when they're rebuilding that temple. They were doing what God called them to do, but there was opposition every single step of the way. There were lies, there were slander, there were false accusations, there were plots and plans to like off Nehemiah. Like the enemy was working in any way possible to stop the rebuilding. And if they would have thought, I don't think this is from God, because if it was from God, like there wouldn't be opposition like this. The temple would have never gotten built. The opposition was an attempt to get them to stop before it could be completed. And they had to continue to work forward regardless of the opposition going on around them. And in doing that and putting their faith in God and saying, well, God has called me to it, God has spoken it. So regardless of the opposition, I'm going to trust. I'm going to get to that end point. If God has spoken it, I'm going to trust in God's word over what I see and over my fear. Because they did that, the temple was rebuilt. And God blessed that building in ways. And the blessing looked like the weapons formed, but they didn't prosper. But Nehemiah, the builders had to trust in God's word that the weapons will form, but they will not prosper. They had to trust in the end vision that God gave them. Now, to go back to Matthew 22, so we have the people who have rejected Jesus and will also reject what you have to say. And I will share with y'all just a little bit of personal experience. And it was really rough when I was like very fresh in my walk with Jesus, and I had so much like enthusiasm, and I just wanted to tell everybody because I had just experienced some miraculous miracles, and I had this fire and this desire. I just want to tell everybody and their mama what Jesus did in my life. But the people that I was telling were people who weren't believers. And some of these people were people who were actually really angry at God. Some of these people were people who, you know, had a lot of animosity towards some things that my past testimonies were. For those of y'all who have been here with me for a minute, you know, I had a history, but when I gave my life to Jesus, I was a New Age. I was a tarot card reader. I had entertained witchcraft, all of these things. And there are some people who, like, the best way I can word it is there is already, like, a lot of anger and hostility towards the New Age community, you know? So in me even speaking that I was delivered from that or coming out of that, there was already a skewed perception of who I was as a person. There was already like a real, I don't want to hear her message, you know? And that was something that the Lord has had to take me through and overcoming fears and worries in regards to that and speaking up anyways. But I had all this fire in me and I started speaking to a lot of people who didn't want to hear the message. It wasn't like I was going and speaking to believers who had also experienced all these miracles and had also experienced all these amazing things and loved Jesus and believed in Jesus too. I was speaking to a lot of people who were like, what are you talking about? I was speaking to people who had anger, who had envy, who had jealousy. And very quickly, the fire I had for Jesus and to share that testimony really started to dwindle out. And it started to be replaced with fear. And that part, I started kind of being pushed into a little bit of a hiding space. Because I kept being rejected and I kept having like side comments or different things being poked at, I wanted to hold on to what Jesus had did for me. And I didn't want to hear it being poked at, right? I didn't want to hear any more death being spoken over it. I didn't want to be told I was crazy anymore. So I stopped speaking up about it as much. And I started keeping it to myself more for a while. And fears started overtaking. And before I knew it, I was allowing the enemy to take territory. There's a story in the Bible that's coming to mind, and I cannot tell you the names of these people. It's been so long since I've read the story, so bear with me, y'all. But there was a king, right? Who, like, they had a temple for the Lord. Like, there was gold and all these things. And there was another king that pulled up and was like, I'm here to overtake your territory. And he's like, God isn't with you. And God wasn't with any of the other people I came up against. So you might as well just give everything over to me right now and surrender to me. And that king was kind of like, yeah, you know what? You're right. You're right. I'll give you whatever you want if you just like leave us be. What's your price? And I'll pay it. And he gave him like this high amount. And what this man did was this king didn't have everything like in his personal storage to pay that other king. So he took from God's temple. He took the gold. He took the things off the doorframe. Again, y'all, it's been so long since I've read this. So this is like a very rough trying to pull it out of my brain. Bear with me, okay? But he gave to this king all the things that were meant to be, that were God's, right? And the things that God had given them. And that was a little bit of the recognition, the realization I had had at the time. That was actually the time when I read that story. The first time I had really read and remembered reading that story in the Bible. Because I had started to recognize that there was a lot of territory that God had given me, right? He had given me a vision of creating disciples and sharing my testimony and doing all these things. And he had given me a fire and he had given me a voice and all of this. And I was faced with a lot of opposition. And I didn't feel prepared to deal with the opposition. And I wasn't truly yet relying on God to defend me and entrusting that like it will all work out for my good. So I started making compromises. I stopped speaking up as much. I stopped spreading the gospel as much. I stopped sharing my testimonies. I stopped speaking to the miracles. I stopped trying to bring people closer to Christ. It wasn't like I was walking away from my relationship with Christ, but I put the evangelism to the side. I put the disciple making to the side, right? Like I put those things to the side and went kind of into a survival mode of just protecting what Jesus had already done in my life. And when I look at that, was what that king was trying to do, right? Like he was just trying to hold on to his kingdom in general, but he was willing to like give up. I know he didn't technically give up territory, but he was kind of giving up territory in other areas, right? And trying to conserve what God had given him, he had started giving away other things that God had given him. And that was kind of what I was doing, right? I was holding on so tightly to like, well, God gave me this call and he gave me this desire and he gave me this fire. And like, I want to hold on to that so badly. So I'll make compromises in these other areas. And when I tell y'all that it took a while, and it wasn't very easy to earn that back. God helped me, but to work with that back, there was warfare, there were battles I had to go through to get that territory back that I had given up to the enemy. And it had taken months and months. I had to go through multiple instances of having to stand my ground and facing legit loss and some very harsh words and a lot of pain in order to get back that boldness that I had lost. When I spent so long making compromises, I lost a boldness, right? I had to start getting back to that place of not fearing. And God helped me do that. And I'm here today to tell you that's possible. If you have surrendered territory to the enemy, if you have like out of fear given up things and compromised, God will help you get that back. He will. I'm just saying it's not an easy process, but he helped me with it. I'm here speaking to y'all today, aren't I? And I'm just a little over a year of giving my life to Christ. I gave my life to Christ in September of 2024. So I know when I'm talking about this, I make it sound like it's been 25 years, but all of this has happened in a little over a year. A lot can happen in a year. So let this be testimony for you too, that all of this has happened in a year, and I'm standing here talking to y'all about this today. God is good. But let's keep moving forward. They paid attention and went away, one to his own farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. Now we see there are some people who just went back to their daily lives. They hear the gospel spread to them, and they're like, nah, but I can't leave my lifestyle behind. Nah, but I can't give this up. Nah, but I can't release this. We know as followers of Christ, that there is a dying to self that has to happen, right? Like it starts with us believing in Jesus, believing in who he is, believing in what he did, that he resurrected, believing that he's coming back one day, believing that we can be forgiven for our sins. It starts with the belief. Because if you don't believe, then your life isn't going to change if you don't actually believe, right? Once you believe, is when Jesus starts working in your heart. And your life is supposed to change. And the most loving way I can say this, your life is supposed to change when you're walking with Christ. The things that you were once relying on in the world for fulfillment and for peace and for love, now that you know peace and love that surpasses all understanding from Jesus, you should be slowly letting those things go and accepting Jesus Christ instead. You may have at one point been someone who's very unforgiving and had a really hardened heart, but experiencing the love of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness that he has given you, being able to start showing that forgiveness and that love to other people. In receiving it, you're able to give it. In experiencing it, you're able to show it to other people, right? And in seeing that there's something better, I'm not saying it's easy, but there's a letting go of thing that used to bring you comfort, and instead grabbing onto Jesus, understanding and recognizing that's much better. He's much better than any of these other things. I've shared before, y'all, I had to go through that, right? When I gave my life to Jesus, It was very soon after he called me to leave. I had to throw away all the tarot cards. I had to throw away all the New Age stuff. I kept being led to scripture, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. And I recognized that that was a temptation. That was an open door I couldn't keep in my life. I trusted Jesus was going to reveal to me what I needed to see. I trusted that he is the way, the truth, the life. I trusted that in him, all those things are going to be provided. So I had to let those other things go. They couldn't be my comfort. They couldn't be my guide anymore. Smoking and drinking, Jesus Christ told me, you are never going to need that again. You need to give it up. I'm calling you to a sober lifestyle. And that was my comfort, my detachment, my relaxing for the past like 15 years of my life. But when I had experienced a peace that surpassed all understanding from Jesus, I understood that I didn't understand completely what he meant when he told me, if you throw these things out, I'll give you something much better. I didn't totally understand what that meant. But because I knew Jesus could give me a peace, because I knew he was a miracle worker, I trusted in that. And I threw away my grinder. I threw away anything that could have allowed me to go back to that lifestyle easily. And it wasn't an easy transition, but God did exceedingly and abundantly. Those were areas of dying to my old self, of giving up what brought me comfort before, giving up my peace before, giving up these things and trusting that whatever Jesus Christ was bringing to the table was much better. I received a new life, but it required me to release my old life. And we see these people here who they hear the gospel, they get the invitation, but they don't want to leave that life behind. They don't want to leave those comforts behind. They don't want to leave that peace. And that they go back to that. I cannot tell you how many opportunities I had growing up throughout my life when people would try to talk about Jesus to me or try to preach the gospel or I'd be going through something and they'd try to give me a biblical answer and I'd say, yeah, okay, cool, whatever. And then I would go right back to doing what I would do. And it was years down the road that I gave my life to Jesus. Years down the road. Which is also an evidence here that he doesn't stop inviting you. He was inviting me my entire life and I was rejecting it my entire life. And that's the great thing with God is like he doesn't stop chasing you down. He doesn't stop inviting you. He doesn't stop sending people. Even when I was in the middle of the desert, nothing to my name, there was a couple that I truly believe God sent to me that, you know, they weren't telling me, give your life up, leave behind tarot. They weren't any of that. But they were planting seeds by showing me the love of Jesus in ways that, like, really stuck with me because these people didn't have a lot to give, but they were still always willing to give. Whenever they found out I needed something, they were so quick to give and showing me a love that made no sense. Even when I was in the lowest of the low, even when I had rejected Jesus so many times over, I was still being sent to people. God was still sending his servants. And someone needs to hear that today. That's something that we have to be willing to do as servants of Christ, is continuing, despite of how many times we've been rejected before, to do what God has called us to do. Understanding like that's part of the walk is to be rejected. There's a message God wants you to put out, not everybody wants to hear it. There's a thing he's calling you to do, not everybody's going to support it. That doesn't mean that he hasn't called you to do it. And don't let the rejection that you face create a fear that steers you away from continuing down that path. I'll share this with y'all real quick, a personal testimony of I was really scared to share that I had been in New Age. I was really scared to. There was a time period in my life when I wanted to act like I hadn't been in it before. And the Lord revealed to me that that was me, like, hiding the testimony that he had given me, and he didn't give me a testimony to hide. But I had faced some opposition, right? And there were a lot of fearful words spoken into it. I remember when I first gave my life to Christ, that there were, the best way I can word this is there were some videos I remember seeing on my TikTok that spoke some real fear into my situation. Because remember, at this time, I'm leaving behind tarot cards, I'm leaving behind mediums, I'm leaving behind all that and pursuing a relationship with Christ. And there was a period in my life where I was really fearful of prophetic words. because I didn't know how to discern what is from the Lord and what isn't. So I just shut it off completely. But I remember when I was really trying to like give my life to Christ, and this was right before the Lord called me to do like a total social media fast where I stopped listening to all of those voices so I could be trained to listen to his voice alone. Glory be to God, he did that. I didn't understand it at the time. But I remember right before that there were a couple of videos that I had seen that were supposedly prophetic words that were speaking some real fear into my situation. That sounded Christian because they were coming in the name of the Lord, right? They were saying like, you're giving your life to Jesus and you're leaving your old life behind and God's gonna do amazing things in your life, but they're good. And but this was the thing that a lot of fear was spoken into, is I remember specifically this person, this word saying, people are gonna accuse you of witchcraft. People are going to accuse you of wickedness. People are going to accuse you of being like a false this and a false that and like all of these things. And that stuck with me. That stuck with me. And of course, as followers of Christ, when you, of course, that is going to happen at some point, right? I see some pastors that I love to listen to their messages, like Philip Anthony Mitchell, for one. That man is anointed and appointed. Now, I'm not saying he's perfect, but that man, when he is speaking, I know that the Holy Spirit, their messages I've heard were, I'm blown away. The Holy Spirit is speaking through that man. God is working through him. He is doing some wonderful things for the kingdom of heaven. But there are so many people that are, he's a false prophet. He's a false this. He's a false this. Like tearing him down so quick. I cannot tell y'all how many people that like, I see the Holy Spirit speaking through them. I know that God is working through them, and they're being accused and all those things. And there was a real fear at the beginning of my walk hearing that, that had been really ingrained in me, right? And I had noticed that start to come out the more I was walking with Christ. When I started connecting, there were a couple people I connected with I hadn't talked to in years, but the last they had seen of me or heard of me, I was a new age. And they had bad experiences with New Age. And some of them, I think that they're even trying to work out their way out of New Age still. Some of them have points where they've kind of dipped in and fallen into it. But they did not want to accept that I gave my life to Jesus. And they're very quick to say, you're a witch. Like, to my face, y'all, I was called a witch. To my face, I was called demonic. I was told you're just pretending to love Jesus and you're just pretending to be a part of the church and you're just all these things and you're really wicked. And like the idea of repenting and giving my life to Jesus, whatever fruit they could see, they didn't want to see that fruit. They didn't care about the fruit. They were very focused on like, you were once this, you're always going to be this. I don't believe any of it. And that instilled a lot of fear in me. And it kept bringing me back to that first, what I believe to be a word from God before I went on my social media fast of like the opposition that would come up. And I didn't want that to be, I recognized that, well, when people know I have a history of New Age, they're more likely to accuse me of those things and do all those things. I know they're going to do it regardless, but when I tell them about my past, they're more likely to do it. So why don't I just like not tell them about that? And I went through a period where I didn't tell anyone about it. Where I very much limited it and watered it down out of fear of judgment and accusation. And the Lord convicted me so heavily of, I gave you that testimony. I redeemed that. Not saying that God blessed me doing that thing. That thing was a sin. But when I came out of it, God told me, I will use this as a testimony for you to connect with other people. There are people who are dealing with New Age, who are not dealing with New Age, who have totally opposite problems that can relate to the reasons why I got New Age, that can relate to things that will still be impacted by that testimony. He's like, I turn this past into a testimony, not for you to keep silent, but for you to share it. Do not let the fear stop you. And man, it was a hard work back to that point. But God did it. And I know that there's someone who's going to be moved by that testimony or hear that testimony that I just shared with that and relate to that in some way of like being scared to share your past and being scared to share a testimony that God has given you out of fear of like the way people are going to respond and react out of judgment. God has already planned for however these people are going to react. God has already planned for whatever words are going to be spoken. God has already planned for all that, and he's still calling you to it. Trust in God, not in the fear. Let's move forward here. Then he told his servants, I wanted to pause right here. Where you see, the king was enraged. He sent out his troops, killed those murderers, and burned down their city. I won't spend too much time on that, but someone who's listening to this today, you need to hear this. There's a reason why God says to give vengeance over to him. Vengeance is not ours. Vengeance is God's. And trust in his divine justice. I'm not saying it's going to look like that. I'm not saying it's going to look like he's burning down people's cities or doing all of that. But trust in God's ability to teach lessons. Trust in God's ability to humble people and their hearts. I was someone who didn't think I needed humbling, but wasn't until I was humbled that I was able to receive the gospel. I was one of those people that I was going to rely on everything outside of Christ, and it wasn't until I realized that none of those things I could rely on that I was open to giving Christ a chance, to be honest. But I just wanted to stop and pause here. For someone who needs to see this, there's a reason why God calls you to give vengeance over. He can do it a lot better than we ever could because he does it for the good of all. When we look at revenge and teaching lessons, we look at more ways to embarrass people or to hurt people or to make them feel some type of way or to ruin things or to do all this. We look for just pain, honestly, just pain and suffering and things that make us feel better too. But when God handles justice, when vengeance is his, he does it for the good of all. He's still doing it in a way that maybe this person will open up and receive salvation. He's still doing it in a way that's going to bless and touch like 10 other people. He's doing things for the good. And even if someone on the receiving end, it doesn't feel very good, it can be used as a humbling moment to bring them closer to Christ. It can be used as a moment to open their eyes. Vengeance is God's for a reason. Let's move forward. Then he told his servants, "The banquet is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go then to where the roads exit the city and invite everyone you find to the banquet." So those servants went out to the roads and gathered everyone they found, both evil and good. And I wanted to pause here and I wanted to share with y'all one thing that was just interesting of how I felt this relate. We're relating this today to modern day ministering to others and creating disciples. How I shared with y'all that when I was first spreading the gospel and sharing Jesus with people, I was sharing it to a lot of people who didn't want to hear it, who didn't have eyes to see or ears to hear. And God used that to build an endurance in me. God used that as like a training ground. Because after I'd given up a lot of that territory with God, we had to gain that territory back. And that came through spiritual warfare. That came through when I started speaking up in boldness, and there was a lot of opposition. There were a lot of things coming up trying to get me to pipe down and back down, and I had to keep standing up. I had to get my strength from God. There was a time when I was literally told I had to leave the place I was living in. Like, when I tell you, like, there were some big things that I had to trust in God for in order to earn that boldness and that territory back. But it was after I went through that really big period and God produced an endurance in me. And the thing where when someone would say something, I wouldn't be shaken. I would keep moving forward. I was no longer backing down. It was crazy how God, there were more connections in my life with people who actually wanted to hear it. And when I look back, you know, God takes us through different trainings and different preparations before we step into something. And God had been taking me through a time where no one around me wanted to hear the gospel. And it was just, it seemed like constant death being spoken and constant opposition, all these things. And me still putting my faith in God regardless. Me still stepping up to the call regardless. And it didn't always look perfect. And once God had me trained up enough, he started actually sending me to people who wanted to hear what I had to say. Because I hit a point where I stopped watering down my testimony. I stopped watering it down to make it more digestible. I stopped leaving out the new age. I stopped leaving out the alcohol and the smoking. I stopped leaving out these things I dealt with. Because I when I re when I look back, I was in conversations with believers. I was even leaving those out of fear of judgment from them. But God had gotten me to a point where I was like, I'm just going to speak what he tells me to speak, point blank, period. And then he started placing me in rooms and around people that actually wanted to hear what I had to say. Because I had started to overcome that fear. And I'm not saying I'm perfect, but with God's strength, I overcame that fear of judgment, of rejection. I was rejected so much that I stopped fearing rejection. I call it God's exposure therapy. He gives you a lesson, he gives you something to stay rooted in, and then he'll allow the testing of your faith. And I have been through it in some ways that glory be to God, he's gotten me through. So I'm here to share that with y'all today. These hardships, these testings of your faith, they produce endurance. And that is also biblical. I believe is that 2 John, I'll have to look back to it, but these testings of your faith produce an endurance, right? They produce an endurance. Consider it a joy when you receive this testing of your faith. And trust that God will give you a time of rest. Trust that you staying rooted in your faith, he's going to bless it in some way. All right, that might look like an outpouring of just his spirit and a peace and all of these things. I don't know what it'll look like. But God blesses obedience, okay? Let's move forward. When the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who was not dressed for a wedding. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without wedding clothes?" The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, "Tie him up hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are invited, but few are chosen." And what I have written down next, this is there are many who will show up to be blessed, right? There are a lot of people who show up to church on Sunday. I was one of them growing up. There are a lot of people who will call themselves Christian. There are a lot of people who will sing some gospel music, will sing praises to the Lord. But the second they are called to like legit discipleship, the second they are called to deny themselves and throw these other things out, the second they're called to forgive, the second they're called to love, like a Jesus kind of love, it's easy to love people who love you. And this is biblical too. Anybody can love people who love them. The tax collectors do it. Showing love to people who despise you. Not everybody can do that. That's how you're set apart. Is when you show love to people, not because they did something to earn it or because you think they're deserving of it, but because you know that because they are creation, God's creation, they are deserving regardless. We owe everybody love. But there are a lot of people who will sit down at the table, who want to eat the meal, who want to be blessed, who want to have all these things, but do not want to walk in obedience. And I want to be so clear again, our works do not buy our salvation. So that way no one may boast. It's not about how much money I donate. It's not about how many times I volunteer. It's not about how many podcast episodes I make. It's not about any of that. It's not about how many exorcisms someone does. It's not about any of that. None of that buys your way into heaven. What keeps us out of heaven is our sin, and every single one of us is a sinner, point blank, period. And the only thing that can pay the debt for our sins is the blood of Jesus. And the way that you receive the blood of Jesus is by putting your faith in him and believing in him. And once you put your faith in him and believe in him, your life starts to change because the one who believes in him will do the works that he does. That is John 14. The one who believes in him will do the works that he does. I want to pull from this part of John 2. Y'all, bear with me. Where it says right here, "This is my command, love one another as I have loved you." We're in John chapter 15. "No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants anymore because a servant does not know his master is doing. I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce fruit, that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. I want to highlight this part here. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Believing in Jesus, like the first step in our relationship with Jesus is believing in him, right? Because it's hard to obey if you don't actually believe. It's hard to make those life changes if you don't actually believe. But when you actually believe and have your faith in him, your life should look different. You should experience changes. You should be striving to be more like Jesus, not looking for scripture to excuse why you're not like Jesus, but striving to be more like Jesus, right? And there are the invitation for salvation. We should be telling everybody and their mama about Jesus Christ. We shouldn't be picking and choosing, well, that person dealt with this sin, or this person dealt with this, or this person dealt with that, so I'm not going to talk to him. No, we should be spreading the gospel with everybody. Everybody needs to hear. Let God worry about the weeding out. Let God worry about weeding people out. It's not our job. We cannot read people's minds. We can't see people's hearts. We can't see the future. We can't see what God has planned or God has stored for them. It's not our place to decide who is and isn't deserving of the gospel message. It's not our place to decide who is and isn't going to receive transformation and change. I know there are a lot of people who didn't believe I was ever going to give my life to Jesus. That me being who I am today, speaking how I'm speaking, is a God-sent miracle. Is like a Hail Mary buzzer ball. Like, there are a lot of people who thought no shot. And I'm saying that in hopes that if there is someone that you're thinking, yeah, there's no way, stop believing that. Because it is possible. It is possible. It is possible. Pray. Pray for that person every day. Pray for that person every single day. There are people I'm praying to come to Jesus right now for that, like, everything up to this moment has told me that they never intend on receiving the gospel, but they never intend on, but I'm still praying for them. Because I know a lot of people believe the same thing about me. Many are invited, but few are chosen. Many are going to show up to that table. Many people are going to show up in order to be blessed and hopes to be blessed without the intention of actually changing their lives. Let God handle that situation. Let God handle them. Let God sift them out. I think we have like such a, and I want to be so thoughtful with the way I word this because I didn't expect on saying this on today's episode, but there is like a big cancel culture has been a thing, right? I'd say like the past 5 or 6 years. And one thing I've noticed just now being a Christian, seeing more Christian community, there is a big urge to like expose this false prophet. You think this person's doing this, expose them. You think this person's doing it, expose, 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 expose. And there are some people who are putting aside the gospel message, who are putting aside love, who are putting aside forgiveness, who are putting aside preaching repentance, who are putting aside the biggest thing. When we believe that there is something wonky or fishy going on, take that to God and pray about it. Because God is the one who can shed light like we could never. God exposes the workings that are going on in the darkness, right? So if you think that there's a working that needs exposed, the very first thing to do is pray to him. And there are instances where God will tell us to say something, to speak up. There are instances when he will call us to, you know, approach that person, say something to that person. And I want to say this, and I pray, Holy Spirit, give me the words as I say this. It is God's job. It is God's job to weed them out when they go before him one day. It is God's job to say, this person. There are a lot of us Christians that are striving to step into that judgment role, that are striving and excited to say, like, this person's a false this, and this person said this, and this person's actually wicked, and this person's going to hell, and this person's this, and this person's that, when that's not our job, when that's not our role to step into. And that's not saying that we aren't supposed to, if we notice a brother or sister in Christ going astray, lovingly lead them back, lovingly guide them back. I'm not saying that you're supposed to sit there quietly. But there are a lot of people who are putting aside love and forgiveness and preaching the gospel and repentance and prayer and handling things in prayer and instead taking things into their own hands. Trust in God's ability to weed them out. You don't need to alert these people to God. God already knows. God knows the hearts. God knows the mind. He knows exactly where that person's at in their faith walk. He knows exactly what they have going on. And there are going to be times when God may call you to say something, when God may call you to take an action. But there are a lot of people who are putting aside God's guidance and God's timing and God's instructing and relying on their own works. And that is creating a lot of division. And we know that the enemy comes to lie, steal, kill, destroy. The enemy comes to create division. And there are a lot of instances in the Bible where we're warned to stay away from divisive people, to stay away from people who are just producing division and just trying to cause strife and drama and friction. A house against itself, like a house that's fighting against itself, can't stand. And if Christians are so busy fighting other Christians and working against other Christians, what good for the kingdom of heaven is being done? And this is my advice to you. Take it to God and obey what he is telling you to do. There have been instances when people have been like, where it's been clear as day to me about like, this person doesn't have good intentions towards me. This person isn't trying to bring me closer to Jesus. And this person may be trying to create delays or things like that. And my first reaction is like, my fleshly reaction is to want to tell other people, do you see what they're doing? Like, do y'all see this here? My first reaction is wanting to expose and wanting to call out and wanting to do that. But what God has taught me to do is to take it to him first, because he already knows this is happening and he already has a plan for it, to use it for my good and that person's good. And I'll tell you that the vast majority of times when I have taken it to God, he has actually told me to wait on him. And I cannot tell y'all how many times I've written down in my journal that they will fall on their own sword, like a Saul and David moment. That they will reveal themselves. That they, in God's timing, I won't have to do any of it. I cannot tell y'all how many times that has happened. That someone's refusal to let something go, that someone's refusal to repent, is exposed in whatever way by their own deeds. And I'm just over here focusing on what God's called me to do. My hands are clean of the situation. But that only came through prayer and obeying what God has told me to do. There were lots of times where he told me to wait, where I was like, I don't want to wait. I don't want to do that. And I was like, literally, it took every ounce of the strength that God was giving me to not get involved. And then there were other times where I've taken it to God and God said, I'll tell you when to speak. And sometimes it was hours later, sometimes it was days later, and a conversation would come up or a thing would happen, an opportunity for me to be vulnerable and talk about what's going on. But notice how all of these things weren't me creating things. It wasn't me going out of my way to do these things. It wasn't me relying on my own strength, my own planning, my own control. It was me trusting in God's guidance, me trusting in God's navigation, me going to him daily for my daily bread, my daily guidance, my daily instruction. I was submitting and obeying to his plan. And sometimes that looked like me just praying and there were no actions to take. And sometimes that looked like me taking the action that God called me to take in His timing. And someone needs to hear this today, to trust in God's ability to sift people. Trust in God's ability to plan for whatever is going to happen, and trust in what He has called you to do. It is very hard to wait on God sometimes, but if that's where He's called you to be, do it. God uses the wisdom, the world's wise. Like, God uses, Holy Spirit, give me the words. God uses what the world finds foolish to shame the wise. And a lot of people in the world find waiting on God to be foolish. A lot of people in the world find submitting to God's word and God's ways foolishness. And that if you want anything done, if you want this and you want that, you got to do it yourself. But God will literally use what the world finds foolish to shame the wise. I can't tell you how many times I had people saying, "You're so stupid for waiting. You're so stupid for waiting on God." How many times I was shamed for waiting on God, whether it be for God to make a move in my life, for God to bless me with something, for God to expose something. And I still chose to wait on God. And in His timing, things would work out. In His timing, things would move accordingly. In His timing, justice would be executed. In His timing, truth would come out. And He used what the world found foolish to shame what they called wisdom, what they called being wise. And I pray that this message, I know this has been a little bit of a long episode, blesses you and helps you in your walk. And again, and I say this almost every episode, I'm not speaking these things to y'all from like a place of like judgment or because I'm perfect, because I'm not in any of this. The reason why I'm able to speak to you with such emotion is because I've been through it myself. I'm going through it. I'm a little over a year in on my walk with Christ. I'm being sanctified. I'm learning. I'm learning as I go. And I'm sharing with y'all what I learn as I learn it. And I pray that no one feels any condemnation through listening to this. If anything, maybe there's a bit of conviction you feel. I pray that you take that to God and He works with it. It's crazy what He can do in your life off of you listening to the conviction you're feeling. When you feel that conviction, and I just want to be so clear that there is a difference between condemnation and conviction. When you feel condemnation, you feel like there's no point, there's no return, there's no hope, there's no redemption, there's no coming back. And with conviction, it's recognizing what you're doing is wrong, but also understanding that there is hope in Jesus Christ. When the reality hit me, when I was in New Age, that what I was doing was a sin and God wasn't pleased and that like I was actually wicked and I needed a savior for my sin. Like when the reality of that hit me, the weight on me was so heavy. And that was a defining moment of, do I lean into this as condemnation? And do I feel like, well, what's done is done. There's no coming back. Or do I accept what Jesus Christ has to offer? Which is, yes, I feel convicted about this. But if I repent and open my heart to Jesus and obey Him, He can redeem everything. It's a defining moment of when you realize the weight of everything. Do you lean into the condemnation or do you lean towards Jesus Christ and what He has to offer? So I think we're going to close this episode off today. I think this is going to be the end, but there is a piece of scripture I want to share with y'all. There is a Bible verse I want to share with y'all. There are two Bible verses that I have had on my whiteboard this week that I'm feeling called to share with y'all. And the first one is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as a tried and true worker who isn't ashamed to teach the word of truth correctly. And here's the second verse. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Dedicate your lives to Christ as Lord. Always be ready to defend your confidence in God when anyone asks you to explain it. However, make your defense with gentleness and respect. I think it's kind of interesting how well these verses actually go along with what today's episode is about. You know, something I had to work through, y'all, is to not be ashamed. Not being ashamed of obviously sharing the testimony, but I've already explained this, y'all, that the testimony is a way for me also to share the truth of Jesus Christ. Because the truth of Jesus Christ is what set me free from my sin. Was what set me free from that past and opened me up to redemption, what softened my heart. I can't be ashamed of that truth and the way that it was revealed to me. And dedicate your lives to Christ as Lord and always be ready to defend your confidence in God. I remember the first couple times I heard that, I was thinking, what does that mean? Does that mean I have to have every Bible verse be prepared to, you know, when an unbeliever says, what about this? What about that? Does that mean be prepared to throw this verse at them and throw that verse at them? And I'm sure that God will continue to give me new understandings of that scripture because it is a living word of God. And at one time, that was actually a real encouragement for me to start memorizing more verses. I'm getting a little bit better with that. But what God has really been calling me to lean into when I read that is just be prepared. So when someone says, why do you believe God is good? Why do you believe these things? God has really revealed to me, I've already given you testimony to it. I'm able to say, well, I read in God's word that he is love, and I experienced love in this way. That you can repent and receive forgiveness. And this is what I was doing when I received forgiveness. That the testimonies I had were actually ways to share why I'm confident in God. And when I look back now, I'm like, man, that is why the enemy has been attacking my testimony so badly. Is because that is one of the big ways that God is going to move through me. That is one of the big ways I'm going to evangelize. That is one of the big ways I'm going to spread the gospel. That is why he attacks it so heavy. That is why there's so much opposition. And I want to ask you this question. What opposition have you been facing in your life? What area of your life has been facing attack? You've noticed the enemy has been trying to silence. The enemy has been trying to bury. The enemy has been trying to stop. The enemy has been trying to block. He's been trying to sow seeds of doubt, fear, whatever it looks like. What area of your life has the enemy been attacking? And how can God use that to bring people closer to Jesus Christ? How can God use that to spread the gospel? I want to thank y'all so much for listening to this episode today. I'm your host, Danielle Townsend. I'm so happy we got this episode out. I honestly love this episode. This was a wonderful episode, in my opinion. I'm so glad that the Lord led this today. And I do ask, wherever you're listening to this episode, please hit the subscribe button. Subscribe to the podcast and share this episode with someone. Share it with a friend. Share it with a family member. Whoever it is that God is putting on your heart to share it with them. And I'll see you guys next time. Have a wonderful, blessed day.